Cow with two legs? Lean beef? Cow with no legs? We did that already. Never mind. What do you call a dog with no legs? Doesn't matter, he's not coming anyway. All right, mama tomato, daddy tomato, and baby tomato going on a walk. Daddy tomato looks back. He sees baby tomato. Baby tomato's hardly even staying with him. He marches back there. He says, baby tomato, stay with us. Baby tomato says, yes, sir, we'll do it. Oh, they walk another 15 minutes. He looks back, can barely even see baby tomato. He marches back there. He says, baby tomato, what did I tell you? Stay with us. Baby tomato said, okay, I will. All about 10 minutes later, he looks back, can hardly even see the little green tuft of baby tomato's head. He marches back there and smushes him and says, catch up! Yeah, you'd like that one. If you didn't get that joke, you need to catch up. At Apologetics Press, and now lots of times when I say Apologetics Press, people ask me where I work, they say Apostolic Express, what is that? And I say, no, not Apostolic Express, it's Apologetics Press. And they get this little grin on their face and they say, well, what are you apologizing for? You know, there is an idea that the word apologetics or apologize or apology means to say that you're sorry, to have done something that you didn't really mean to do and apologize for that. The word comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense for a reason, for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. That word defense comes from the Greek word apologia. Apologetics has historically been the study of defending a belief. And apologetics now has been so closely associated with Christian apologetics that most of the time if you type in apologetics on the internet, you're going to get sites that are defending the ideas of Christianity. Now, in the course of our defending New Testament Christianity, we deal with some pretty heady subjects. We deal with the existence of God, the inspiration of the Bible, the deity of Christ, the preeminence of the Christian religion as compared to any other religions out there. But that's not the most often asked question at Apologetics Press. In fact, the most often asked question of all the heady topics that we deal with, what about the dinosaurs? That's it. That's what we get asked more than anything else at Apologetics Press. The book that flies off of our shelves is the book out there that is, it's blue, it's got a blue cover, it's called Dinosaurs Unleashed. Do you know why that book flies off our shelf? Because the authors of that book are so amazing and their insight into dinosaurs. No. I mean, yes, I did write it, but that's not why. The reason Dinosaurs Unleashed flies off of our shelves is because it's got a big old fat Tyrannosaurus Rex on the cover of it. And if you put a dinosaur on anything, just about, it's going somewhere. Now, to establish that fact, here is an oatmeal package. Now, when I was growing up, my mom would fix us oatmeal, and it would come out of the silver pan that she would make in one large clump. In fact, she would take the spoon and stick it in there and suck it out with the spoon. And then she's like, anybody want any oatmeal? No, you know. But that wasn't really a question of does anyone want any. That was push your bowl over here, you're getting some. And so we would put some, and you get that big dollop of oatmeal in your bowl there. And you think, what am I going to do with this oatmeal? I mean, if you could feed it to your horse, it just doesn't make sense that a little five-year-old should be eating something that you could feed to the livestock. So here's what we would do. We cover it with as much butter as possible until mom would say, okay, that's enough. And then we put as much sugar on it as possible until mom would say, that's good, that's good. And then we dump a bunch of milk on it so that when it slid down, we would not have to taste any oatmeal. That's what we did. Well, kids these days, you've never had that experience, have you? You've never had the oatmeal experience that I've just described, have you? No. You know why? Because parents aren't as mean as they were when my mom was there. No. That's not why. It's because now, hey, to take your mind off the oatmeal that you're eating, number one, they pre-sugarize it, and then they put little chunks of fruit in it so that it doesn't really taste like real oatmeal, so that anybody in the last 15 years that's eaten oatmeal, they've never even really eaten oatmeal. They've eaten something that they think is oatmeal, but it's not. But to take your mind off of it, they put up stuff that will help you take your mind off the fact that you're eating a piece of grain unprocessed. And to do that, what they do is they say, oh, how big was a Tyrannosaurus rex? Now, the word Tyrannosaurus rex means king tyrant lizard. And when you start talking about a Tyrannosaurus rex, people's attention starts to get piqued, because a Tyrannosaurus rex was one of the most amazing land-living creatures anybody's ever seen. A Tyrannosaurus rex was 47 feet long. Now, to illustrate 47 feet long, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That's about 15 yards. A Tyrannosaurus rex was from that end of the pew to here. That's how long a Tyrannosaurus rex was. He had a skull that was 5.5 feet long. That's about as long as this table right here. He had a mouth that was filled with 60 razor-sharp serrated teeth, some of them 13 inches long, the size of a banana, the largest banana you've ever seen. And that 5.5-foot skull with 60 razor-sharp serrated teeth could bite off a chunk of meat that weighed 500 pounds in a single bite. And he stood 20 feet tall at his hips. That means when he stood up straight, he could hit about 30, 32 feet. At his hips, he was 20 feet. That's a basketball goal times two, height, wide. Now, is that fun to think about? You know, that's exciting. I've never, one time in my description and illustration of a Tyrannosaurus rex, had somebody say, oh, that's boring, I wish he'd get on to something else. Nobody does that. You know why? Because a creature with a 5.5-foot skull, the largest skull of any land-living creature that could bite off a bite of meat that weighed 500 pounds in one bite, that's fun and exciting. And it sure beats thinking about oatmeal, doesn't it? Now, you get the other factosaurus. Now, notice this is a factosaurus. You're supposed to be getting stuff that's fact right here. On what continent did dinosaurs first appear? Now, what's the implication there? Oh, at one time, there were no dinosaurs. And then somehow they appeared. How? Well, during the early Triassic period, all the continents were together in one called Pangaea. Early Triassic, you know when that was? 270 million years ago was supposedly the early Triassic period. Now, you innocently go and you buy your kid a factosaurus and you slap it down in front of him and he reads it while he's eating his oatmeal and he learns that 270 million years ago, dinosaurs appeared. You're going to have some problems later. In fact, so much are you going to have problems later that you might end up like this one distraught mother who contacted us. She said, my kids are 13 and 15. They are wandering away from the faith, and dinosaurs were the first instance of where I started losing them. And I'll tell you what's been done historically. Historically, many members of the Lord's church have said, you know what, dinosaurs never existed. They're just made up by evolutionists to teach evolution. They are not real, they never were real, and they're just made up. I was talking to my mother, she travels around, does Ladies' Day. She was teaching a class to about 13 mothers at a small rural congregation right outside of Columbia, Tennessee. She said at that congregation where she was teaching that class out of the 13 moms, that's what they all had been taught by the preacher that was there before the current one, and they all had taught their kids, or that's what they believed, that there never was a dinosaur. You know what? You're going to have a serious problem when your kid goes to the Smithsonian and sees a bone that they dug out of section in Colorado that you could go to Colorado and look at. You're going to have a serious problem when you go to the Dinosaur National Monument and you see 1,600 fossils embedded in a cliff that have never been moved, and your kid wonders, they never existed, but their fossils are all over the world? Well, there's got to be a better explanation, doesn't there? And there is. What I'm going to show you is that the information about dinosaurs fits perfectly with what the Bible has to say about the creatures. But what I want you to see is that as you'll go through this information, you're going to hit, boom, the Wendy's Kids Meal. And on the Wendy's Kids Meal, I mean, they go from eating oatmeal in the morning to Wendy's Kids Meal at lunch. On the Wendy's Kids Meal, you're going to see all kinds of interesting stuff. The Triceratops. Tri meaning three, Ceratops meaning horn face. Triceratops is a three-horned face. Maybe then you'll see the Stegosaurus meaning the armored lizard or the plated lizard. Stegosaurus is the one that's got the spikes right there on his back. It leans over eating grass kind of like a cow. And then you're going to read the Factosaurus. Boom. Here's the fact. Now here's what irks me about this particular fact. Fact. New findings show that birds probably are related to dinosaurs. Is that a fact? It's not even a fact. It's not even a factual statement. Number one, that just hacks me off that it's not even written in a factually stated way. But number two, watch this. New findings show that birds are probably related to dinosaurs. Scientists in China have discovered two fossils of feathered dinosaurs. That is the biggest lie ever. There has never, ever been a discovery of a feathered dinosaur, ever. Now, here's what's interesting. Scientists for about the last 20 years have said dinosaurs evolved into birds. When people said, is there evidence of that? They said, yes, we found some feathered dinosaurs. When they said, what do those feathers around the dinosaurs look like? The scientists say, well, nothing like feathers. And when they ask, well, if they look nothing like feathers, but you're saying they're feathered, why are you saying they're feathered? Well, because we know they evolved into birds. Well, how do you know that? Because they've got proto-feathers on them. Oh, and then guess what? They found some fully formed birds that were supposedly 165 million years old that were before the dinosaurs that they supposedly, the dinosaurs evolved into birds. So they find fully formed birds before the dinosaurs arrive that supposedly evolved into birds. You seeing some problems there? Well, yeah, there are all kinds of problems there, but this certainly is not a fact, and yet it's going to be what your kids read as fact. Now, here is what I call a standard dinosaur book. This is troubling to me. I don't know what to do about it. I was at, was it Friday? Thursday. Thursday, I was at a very strong, solid Christian school in Columbia, Tennessee. It's a great school. The president is outstanding. The Bible teaching that gets done there is tremendous. And they were having a book fair, Scholastic Book Fair. So I just walked through the book fair and saw five books on dinosaurs. Every single one of those books teaching exactly what I'm about to show you here. I've wondered how can we get our books into, I mean, the Christian school, if you were to show the teachers and the president, everybody, the books we got on the table, God Made Dinosaurs, or Amazing Dinosaurs Designed by God, would they totally agree with that? Yes. But somehow, those books do not get in a book fair. We don't care if we make any money on them. We'll give them to you. Just sell them to the kids. You make the money. Just put the book in the book fair. Well, it's not Scholastic approved. And so, somehow, it's not going to get in. And here's what is going to get in. This kind of stuff right here. Well, millions of years ago, dinosaurs roamed the earth. There were dinosaurs on earth for 120 million years, but all of them had disappeared long before the first humans lived. That might not sound so difficult to you. I mean, Kyle, why are you making such a big deal about it? Why in the world are you going to have 2 hours worth of stuff on dinosaurs when who really cares whether you know when dinosaurs lived or not? Well, here's the problem. In Genesis chapter 1, God created all of the flying and swimming creatures on what day? Five. In Genesis chapter 1, what day did God create all of the land living creatures? 6. What day did He create man? 6. So if you're going to buy that humans and dinosaurs are separated by millions of years, you're going to have to do some type of damage to the text in Genesis 1. Now, it might not seem like that big of a deal. Okay, you know, let's say the days were really long, extended periods of time. I mean, let's say that it wasn't really talking about literal 24-hour days. Now, I'm going to show you why that's so problematic, but here's what happens. If a person will do away with Genesis 1 to fit in with what modern science teaches, and modern science is changing every year, then will a person do away with Romans chapter 1 that talks about the sin of homosexuality when modern science decides it's going to tell us that homosexuality is something people can't help. You see the problem? Whatever mental process you go through to get rid of Genesis 1 is the mental process people will then use to get rid of other stuff in the text. So you're not just dealing with dinosaurs here. This is not the real issue. The real issue is, are you going to accept popular, ever-changing, unfactual information to fit in, or are you going to force yourself to do rigorous thinking to see if the evidence really does correspond to what the Bible says, and if it does, are you going to stand out and be different? That's the real issue here. Now, what they're telling you is, and when you learned to write a paper, where were the two places they told you to put your most important information? The very beginning and the very end. This is the first page of this book. Humans and dinosaurs never lived together. The last page of this book. The last of the dinosaurs died out about 70 million years ago. Whatever happened, it's important to keep in mind. Dinosaurs lived 120 million years ago. According to our most recent discoveries, humans have lived here for only a few million. First page, last page. There's a singular idea that they're wanting to get across. You know what? They don't care if your kid really knows how big a Tyrannosaurus Rex is. They use that information only to keep your kid interested. The most important information they're trying to teach is no human being ever saw a live dinosaur. And if your kid by the third grade can be taught that, then that child's understanding of the Bible is going to be marred for the rest of his life or her life. Continue with me. Ritz crackers. You want to sell some Ritz? Just make them look like dinosaurs. Now, here's my theory about this. Their machine busted, and the Ritz came out messed up. And they thought, we just, for a day, spent a million Ritz crackers. What are we going to do with them? Oh, let's just put a little smiley face on them and act like they look like dinosaurs and sell them. And I bet they sold better than even round Ritz crackers. You know what? A kid goes up, there's a boring old round Ritz cracker, and there's one that looks like a dinosaur. Which one the kid want? Oh, yeah, he's going to want the one that looks like a dinosaur. Here's your feathered dinosaurs. That's them right there. I mean, that right there is showing you that those dinosaurs evolved into birds, and yet we know that that did not happen. In fact, if you just want to look at the Genesis account of creation, on what day were birds created? What day were dinosaurs created? How in the world are dinosaurs going to evolve into birds when dinosaurs were created the day after birds? Now, that's just one example of some sequence problems that you've got with Genesis and the modern theories of evolution. But scientifically, that's not right. Dinosaurs did not evolve into birds. Birds were fully formed during the time of dinosaurs, and that's a scientific fact. Now, the time of dinosaurs was not millions and millions of years ago. Here is, if you go into Barnes & Noble, you're not going to see a whole section on lions. You're not even going to, lots of times, see a whole section on mammals. You're not even going to see a whole section on birds. I'll tell you what you will see a whole section on. Guess what? Dinosaurs. Whole section on. Why is that? Because dinosaurs are interesting. Interesting. Here is a Magic School Bus excerpt. You know Magic School Bus? Guess who paid for that? Public broadcasting? Public broadcasting? You pay your tax dollars and the government says, what should we teach our kids? Well, we'll pay for this stuff. So you, not that you wanted to, but you did pay for the Magic School Bus here, and they say this story is make-believe. Well, why is this story make-believe? There were no dinosaurs during the time of cave people. Flory writes a little report here. She said no people ever saw a dinosaur. When early humans appeared on Earth, dinosaurs had been dead for millions of years. People found out about dinosaurs from their fossils. Did we in modern times find out about dinosaurs from their fossils? Yeah. In 1822, a guy by the name of Gideon Mantell was in Sussex, England. His wife, Mary Ann, was walking by the road while he was taking care of a patient. She looked down and she saw a fossil that looked like a big tooth. And she knew her husband would be interested in it because he collected fossils. So she took it back to him, said, have you ever seen anything like this? He said, no, never seen anything like it. Where'd you get it? Back then, the way that they would repair roads, they would get big piles of stones, put them beside the road. When a pothole was formed, they would take those stones and put them in the pothole, and that would fix the pothole. Well, he found the quarry from which this pile of stones had come, and he went and found about 20 other teeth. And he sent them to some people who studied animals, anatomists. And they said, well, we've never seen anything like it, but the size of it means it's got to be a rhinoceros or an elephant. He said, does it look like a rhinoceros tooth? No, I mean, but it's big. It's got to be one of those. He said, does it look like an elephant tooth? No, but we've never seen anything this big, so it's got to be something big, and that's the only two big things we got. He said, well, I'm not really satisfied with that. And so he kept comparing it to stuff that was alive. And he found out that it looked just like an iguana tooth, except an iguana tooth was about this big and this tooth was about this big, about 20 times bigger. And he said, I don't know what this creature was, but I'm going to name it Iguanodon. You ever been to the orthodontist? Don meaning tooth. Iguana tooth. That's what I'm going to name it. Because it looks just like an iguana tooth. It's about 20 times bigger. That was in 1822. So many dinosaur fossils had been discovered that by 1841, the British anatomist Sir Richard Owen, he was very famous at the time, came up with a new English word. Dinosaur. Meaning, fearfully great lizard, or really big lizard. The English word dinosaur was not invented until 1841. Nobody studied dinosaur fossils until we first found them in 1822. Now, there were some dinosaur fossils that people had found, but they had mislabeled as some other stuff. In fact, there was one dinosaur fossil that was actually a dinosaur fossil that they said came from a giant human, that they had mislabeled other stuff, but until 1822, nobody really knew anything about dinosaurs in modern times. That's going to be important as we continue this discussion. This is a National Geographic. It was written in 1993. The first part of the article says, if you could read it, no human being's ever seen a live dinosaur. Where you put your most important information? Very beginning. You can't really see this picture well. It's just too dark on this particular screen. But if you could, you would see a large dinosaur. I think this is an Allosaurus, very much like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And then you would see little kids sleeping in sleeping bags below it. They're having a sleepover at the museum. Now, they say in the caption to this picture, use this geo guide to help capture the interest of young readers and stimulate discussion with them. I think they said more than they really meant to say with that caption. What are they trying to do with the fossilized bones of an Allosaurus? Capture the interest of a young reader and then stimulate discussion. Oh, do you think this Allosaurus is neat? When did it live, do you think? Millions of years ago? Did it live with any... No. Do you see what's going on here? Capturing the interest to stimulate discussion. Well, you use these amazing bones to tell kids that they evolved. Well, in Dr. Philip Kitcher's anti-creationist book, Abusing Science, here's why we discuss dinosaurs so much. He says that if you could find solid evidence for the coexistence of dinosaurs and humans, that would shake the foundations of evolutionary theory, because, of course, the dinosaurs are supposed to have been extinct long before the hominids arrived on the scene. Now, this is an evolutionist. He says, I'll tell you what, guys. Really, if you had solid evidence that dinosaurs and humans lived together, that the whole theory of evolution that we've been teaching for years, you would shake its foundation. Now, I'm not as technologically savvy as probably Buddy Shaw is after teaching computer science for years and years. So I want you to watch this, because this is as technologically savvy as it gets with me. But here's what we're going to do. Shake the foundations. Yeah, okay, now if you didn't see it, watch it again. Shake, hold on, wait just a second. Oh, see, I told you I'm not even technically, bam, shake them, that's what we're going to do. But here's what I want you to know. This guy is an evolutionist. He doesn't care one thing about creationists. But he says, you know what, if we could show that dinosaurs and humans lived together at the same time, that would demolish the theory of evolution. Well, I think if I pulled up a Tyrannosaurus Rex tomorrow out of my backyard that was alive, they would find some way to say, oh, you know, I guess we were wrong about that. But in reality, this really should cause the entire evolutionary community to take a step back and say, we have been wrong. Let's see. Here's why I put this slide up here. When I first started, about 13 years ago, I guess it was about 12, I'd been at it about a year or so, and I was feeling pretty good about myself. You know, I had been diving into this stuff, thinking, this is amazing, I'm going to be able to show people this is great. And I had an audience of about 150 four-year-olds to third graders, four-year-olds to about ninth graders. And boy, I laid out all my best information and showed them that humans and dinosaurs did live together, and the scientific evidence was there, the historic evidence was there, the biblical evidence was there, and I just thought I had done such a great job of communicating that I was just going to give myself a pat on the back and show what a great job I had done. You know, that was like me and my wife, we knew everything there was to know about raising kids until we had one. I mean, in fact, we were going to write a book, and then we had some, and then we thought, you know what? No, we really don't. We should have written the book before we had kids, because then we really did know. No, you know what I'm saying? So, boy, I thought I knew it all. I delivered it out there to them, and I said, all right, now, did humans and dinosaurs live together? And I had spent 45 minutes showing them that they did. And they said, I said, what? I said, I just spent 45 minutes showing you all the evidence. One little kid raised his hand and he said, you showed us a slide that said no human beings ever seen a live dinosaur. I said, that's it. I said, from now on, anytime anybody sees this slide, in my presentation, I've been doing this for 13 years now. What, 12? 12 years people have been seeing a big old fat red wrong on that slide so that they understand that is not what I think. That is what I think on this particular position. You understand? Now, let's ask this question. If humans lived with dinosaurs, what would you expect to find? Now, that's what we're going to discuss as we go through this discussion. If you go to a zoo and you see a Komodo dragon, and you think, I would sure like my grandkids to see that Komodo dragon, how do you show your grandkids a Komodo dragon that you see at the Fort Worth Zoo? You take a picture of it. But of course, you understand that pictures in photograph form have only been around for about 160 years or so. Before that, if you wanted to save for your posterity a picture or an image of something that you had seen, how would you do it? You could draw it. And where would you draw it? Well, you might try it on paper, but there's going to be a problem with paper. It's not going to be preserved that well. Paper gets wet. In fact, the Chinese, they said, had paper for several thousand years ago. But paper is going to have some problems. If 500, 1,000 years ago, somebody actually saw a dinosaur, and they wanted to preserve that for us, and we still had a record of it, where would we find something like that? Well, let's see. I think I'm going to show you where we might find something like that. This is the Natural Bridges National Monument. It's in Blanding, Utah. My coworker Eric Lyons and I went out there, and I think it was about 2005, and we went to the Kachina Natural Bridge. This is the third largest natural bridge in the world. It's famous for being a natural bridge, pretty much. Unless you've read any of the evolutionary creation material on the Kachina Natural Bridge, which most people have not. Most people just go out there and look at the natural bridge and they say, oh, wow, that's really interesting. And they go to the next thing and they just move on. They don't know what they're really looking at. But if you've done any research before you get there, it's about a 45-minute hike down to it. Eric and I got there about daylight. I guess it was about 5 o'clock. It took us about 45 minutes to hike down to it. So it was about 5:45 when we finally got there. And we wanted to see the carvings from a group of Indians called the Anasazi Indians. The Anasazi Indians lived from about 500 A.D. to 1500 A.D. in this particular area of the country, Utah and Colorado. And they carved stuff all over the walls, all over the place. A bunch of the stuff is just stuff like you'll see here. They put red ochre handprints right here. You got kind of a human figurine. If you could see it real well, here are its legs and the shoulder and little arms coming off, jutting off. This is a real good representation of an ibex. If you were standing right next to it, it's really recognizable as it's got long, thin horns. Looks like a goat. The Anasazi Indians had a unique way of making these carvings. They would outline the thing, and then it looked like they'd take a chisel and a hammer and make all kinds of hammer marks to fill it in. So when you're looking at that white form there, if you were to run your hand across that, it would be very smooth and bumpy from where they took a chisel and made all kinds of little holes in it. And over the years, those chisel marks have gotten smooth, so they're not sharp feeling anymore, and they've been covered over with something called a desert varnish. When the wind blows sand and stuff over there, it kind of sands them down and covers them with a covering of kind of like a clear dirt type patina substance. I say that to say, you can't fake these. If you tried to, anybody who is an expert at this could readily recognize that this was not dated to the same time as the other ones. And here's why that's going to be important for this discussion. These carvings from the Anasazi Indians are recognized by the rock art specialist as being from the Anasazi Indians. But right next to these, if you will see right here, there is the human figurine. Right here, if you can see it well, I'm going to outline it for you. But right there, you've got this particular carving. Now, if I were to ask you, what does that look like? Everybody I've ever asked, ever. Now, and it could be that, okay, hey, we're talking about dinosaurs. You throw something up there like that, and everybody, the word dinosaur is on their mind. But that's not the case. In that, if you weren't talking about dinosaurs at all and you showed that picture to a million third graders, what would they say it looks like? Every one of them would say it looks just like a dinosaur. Why do you think Eric Lyons and myself were at the Kachina Natural Bridge to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to see the third largest natural bridge in the world? No. We were there to see this carving. Where did we hear about it? Ah, now that's what's very interesting here. This statement is from Fran Barnes, an evolutionist who is a recognized authority on rock art from this particular area of the country. Now listen to me when I say, this guy does not want this to be a dinosaur. He would love to say it's fake because it poses a serious problem for evolution. But I want you to see what he does say about it. There is a petroglyph in the Natural Bridges National Monument that bears a startling resemblance to a dinosaur. Wow. Now, was that startling to you? That was kind of startling, wasn't it? Because it's something that you did not expect. Now, here's the best way I know to illustrate startling, other than that. When I was, I'm going to say I was 6, my dad used to bring us home pets. Not average pets. I mean, one day he brought us home a groundhog as a pet. But this day he brought us home a 6-foot-long black snake. And just thought it'd be good for us 3 boys to, you know, get acquainted with 6-foot-long black snakes and to have one as a pet for a little while. And we thought, great. My mom said that she raised 4 boys, dad included, of course. But she couldn't really say we couldn't have it. Now, mom didn't ever like 6-foot-long black snakes. They were never on her list of favorite things to have in the house. But if dad brings it home, what are you going to say? So we get it, we put it in an old aquarium, doesn't have any water in it, and we just think it's the greatest thing. We let it wrap all around our arms and hold it and just think it's great. Put it in the aquarium. I think we put a rock on top of the aquarium or whatever. But we put it in our playroom at the house, inside the house, in the playroom. And we thought that the rock would hold the lid on there fine. And we got up the next morning and the safety measures that we had taken to secure the 6-foot-long black snake in the aquarium with no water were inefficient. And the snake had gotten out. And we looked all over the house and saw nothing. Now, first mistake, putting a 6-foot-long black snake in your house. Mistake number 2, assuming that it got out of your house if you can't find it in the house. But that's what we did. We just assumed, hey, the snake must have gotten out of the house. Sure, must be gone somewhere. About 3 days later, my mom goes into her closet to pick up a pair of shoes to put on. And we hear a blood-curdling scream. Because she was startled. Yes, she went to find some shoes and she found a 6-foot-long black snake. Now, if you're looking for shoes and you find a black snake, that's going to be startling to you. Why would a picture of a dinosaur be startling to a person who believes in evolution? Why would it be scary? Why would it be shocking? Why would it be something that you would not expect? Why use the word startling? Well, because if you have always been taught your whole entire life that no human being has ever seen a live dinosaur, and the Anasazi Indians were carving this stuff from 500 AD to 1500 AD, at least 320 years before we ever dug up the first dinosaur fossil, and they put an accurate depiction of a dinosaur on this particular wall, then that means they knew what dinosaurs look like. And what's the easiest explanation for that? They saw one. Now, some people have tried to say, well, maybe they dug up fossils of them. Well, hold on just a second. We can check records and we see no record of any systematic digging up of fossils. And guess what? When we have started digging up fossils, we've had global communication have spent millions of dollars trying to find these fossils all over the world. If somebody in China finds a toe bone of a particular fossil and we found the neck bone of that, we get the toe bone from China and the neck bone from our place, and we put them together from communication all over the world. And still with all of that, the Carnegie Institute in Pittsburgh, what was it, about 10 years ago, they had the most prolific dinosaur exhibit in the world. And they said, guess what? We've got to redo the whole thing. It's wrong. The ways that we've depicted these dinosaurs, they didn't really stand like this. They didn't really have a tail like this. Their head didn't look like this. We've got to do it all over. And guess what? In 20 years, we might have to redo the whole thing again. And yet the Anasazi Indians, with no record of ever digging up a fossil one time, carve a picture in a wall that a rock art specialist who doesn't want to find a picture of a dinosaur has to admit, oh, hey, guess what? Looks just like a dinosaur. Now, let me give you some aside information. Aside information, I say, this has nothing whatsoever to do with the argument that we're making. But you might need to know this just for fun. That word brontosaurus has probably been the most popular word for a dinosaur, oh, probably for the past 30, 40 years or so. How many of you have seen the Flintstones? Have you seen the Flintstones? What kind of burgers they eat? Brontosaurus burgers? Bronto burgers? Yeah. Well, here's the problem with the Bronto burger. The problem is, a guy found a dinosaur he called an Apatosaurus. In science nomenclature, whoever finds the creature first and names it gets to pick the name. And that's not how it happens if you're having a kid and the dad wants to name the kid something and the wife wants to name it something else. Well, you know, it doesn't matter who comes up with first. The wife is getting to name the kid, but that's neither here nor there. Whoever finds the dinosaur first gets to name it. Well, a guy found it, called an Apatosaurus, a long, plant-eating, long neck, long tail, thick body, small-headed creature, called an Apatosaurus. Several years later, a guy finds one looks just like it, except it doesn't have a head. And he goes 4 miles down the creek bed, he finds a head, he takes that head, he smacks it on the body, and he calls it a Brontosaurus. Well, they go back and look at it later, and they realize that he took the head from a dinosaur called a Camarasaurus and smacked it on the body of an Apatosaurus and named it a Brontosaurus. So there never really was a Brontosaurus. It was always an Apatosaurus with a Camarasaurus head. Now, the reason you kind of need to know that, kind of, is because if you were trying to think through this, what would help us determine if the Anasazi Indians could have seen an Apatosaurus? I mean, it's one thing to find the bones of this creature in China and it looked just like this. That'd be one thing. But what if we could find the bones of an Apatosaurus in Utah? That would show that the creature lived there, wouldn't it? Oh, guess what? Most of the time when you go to a museum, you don't see the bones of a creature. You see a replica of the bones from a creature. Now, this statement, one of the most curious designs is a petroglyph that resembles a dinosaur, which is apparently of Anasazi origin based on its patination. This guy's name is Dennis Slifer. He's an evolutionist too. The reason I put this up there is it resembles a dinosaur, which is apparently of Anasazi origin based on its patination. He said, you know, guess what? It's not fake. And it looks like a dinosaur. So here's what we found. Hold on just a second. I'm going to get back to that. Eric Lyons, my coworker, is standing beside, these aren't replicas of bones, because a lot of times you'll find a Tyrannosaurus rex tooth in Argentina, and they'll make a bunch of replicas of that, and they'll put the tooth in, the replica of the tooth up in the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and it'll be a replica. These aren't replicas. These are actual fossilized bones from an Apatosaurus in Blanding, Utah, 45 miles away from the actual carving on the Kachina Natural Bridge. We know the creature lived in that area. And we know that Indians carved it on that wall 300 years before we ever started digging up dinosaur fossils. Now, how is that? It's kind of startling to an evolutionist, isn't it? In fact, so startling that we ask the girl who was at the office, you were supposed to pay $5 to go see the Kachina Natural Bridge. We got there so early, the office didn't open until 8 o'clock, and so we had to wait around until the office opened to give them our $5. And when we went there and thought we'd see what they had to say about the Kachina Natural Bridge carving, she said, where'd y'all go this morning? We said, the Kachina Natural Bridge. She said, y'all see that weird carving? And we kind of played. We said, what weird carving? She said, the one that looked like a dinosaur? We said, oh yeah, I saw that one. We said, what did the evolutionists say about it? How do they explain it? She said, they don't want to. She said, it's too early to be a horse. Now, hold on just a second. Did that thing look anything like a horse to you? Anything? Now, what she's trying to say is, if it was a horse, if we wanted to try to say it was a horse, why in the world you would want to, I don't know. But if we wanted to try to say, we couldn't really because the Anasazis lived before the Spanish conquistadors brought horses over. Too early to be a horse. She says, some people think it's really a dinosaur, but they're crazy. Here's what I find very interesting about that. You take that carving, you smack it in front of 3 million third graders, you ask them what it is. What are they going to say? You know why? They're crazy. It's because third graders are nuts. No. Some people think it's really a dinosaur, but they're crazy. Why would she say they're crazy? Because all her life she's been taught no human being's ever seen a live dinosaur. In every book that she's ever picked up, in every movie that she's ever watched, in every magazine that she's ever read, that's what she's been taught over and over and over and over again. And to her, it would be crazy to buck the system that she has been involved in for over 30 years. Some people think it's not a dinosaur, and they're crazy. Could you make that statement? Well, I don't want to use that kind of statement, but I would say some people will not honestly say it's a dinosaur because they've been indoctrinated for so many years that it could not be. She said, there are petroglyphs that resemble mammoths, so the one on the Kachina Bridge might just be some monster that the Anasazis carved on a rock. Oh, it just happens to be a monster that looks exactly like an apatosaurus, and the bones from an apatosaurus have been found 45 miles from the area. Well, you start to see the problem with that kind of explanation. When you show this to a reasonable thinking person and you say, how'd this get there? The Anasazi Indians carved it. Why? How did they carve it? Because they saw live dinosaurs. Makes perfect sense. Fits perfectly with the Bible. You think you'll ever see that in a science book? People have to find out about that later on, won't they? Later on. Let's just keep using that one. No human beings ever seen a live dinosaur? Wrong. That is wrong. Very, very wrong. Now, this is the Ta Prohm Temple in Ta Prohm, Cambodia. It was built, everybody recognizes for a fact, this temple was built in 1187 by a man named Jevarman VII as a memorial for his mother. That's not even up for discussion. Everybody recognizes it. It's as true can be. The evolutionists admit it. The creationists admit it. Everybody recognizes that. 1187. And in this temple, there's all kinds of really cool stuff. Big old roots. Lots of carvings on the walls. Lots of this is pagan idolatry stuff. And then you start getting to this particular section of the temple. And in this particular section of the temple, you start seeing some carvings of animals. Now, if you look at that pretty close, it looks like a salamander, doesn't it? Got a flat head, got a couple feet coming out, a couple legs right there, got a long tail, kind of looks like a salamander. You got, maybe something like a water buffalo, goat, some type thing, got a small tail, maybe some horns right there. Then you got this. What's that look like? A wild pig with bushes behind it. Now listen, and this is the honest truth. They cannot say this is false. This is fake. There are a couple reasons why. You don't really even need to know them. I'll give them to you. It's got the same dark patina in the crevices of this carving as are in the whole temple. It looks just like everything else, made out of the same kind of rock. There are 40 feet of rock above it. So if you try to pull it out and stick something else in it, the 40 feet of rock would collapse. There's no possible way you could do it. So they cannot say it's fake. And we know it was carved in 1187. The only explanation I've ever seen from any atheistic evolutionist is that does not look like a dinosaur at all. It looks like a pig with bushes behind it. And its head is too big to be a stegosaurus. And that's all they say. If you show that to 15 million people, what do 14,999,999 of them say it looks like? What does one of them say it look like? A pig with bushes behind it. Now, this is very clear. I mean, there's no reason to try to explain it away. The clear, easiest explanation is, oh, hey, guess what? people saw a creature that looked just like that, and they carved it in the wall of the Topram Temple. It's easy to understand. Now, some people said, well, people carved all kinds of crazy stuff all over the place. Maybe they just carved something crazy. Well, there's a big reason why that's not the case. They carved something crazy that looks exactly like a creature that we know once existed. You see the problem there? It's one thing to carve a three-headed alien from outer space driving a UFO because nobody's ever seen one of those, but it's another thing to carve something that looks exactly like a stegosaurus because we know they once existed. You see the difference there? Now, we have asked some people, you know, these have been little kids, to draw for us some dinosaurs. Now, that kind of looks like a dinosaur. Kind of. What's that look like to you right there? I get about a 95% accurate recognition of that particular painting as a triceratops, a three-horned face. I mean, generally speaking, when I show that audience, they recognize that. Now, does that look as much like a triceratops as this looks like a stegosaurus? No, of course not. But someone will say, well, you know, guess what? Look at this stegosaurus head. That stegosaurus head looks bigger than the stegosaurus heads we got. Well, yeah, that's true. Number one, do we think to presume that we know more about what a stegosaurus looked like than anybody else in the history of the world? You understand, we only have a few stegosaurus skulls, and what, 15, 20 years ago, the Carnegie Institute had to redo all of their dinosaur exhibits because they got them all wrong? What's to say, oh, hey, guess what? There's a good chance we're going to have to revisit what we think a stegosaurus looked exactly like in its head pretty soon. And secondly, if a person had seen a stegosaurus but didn't have one sitting there perfectly still for them to carve while they were carving, what would they probably have to do? Carve it from memory? How might they remember? Well, let me show you this. This is a expanding, spongy dinosaur figurine. Now, for all of you little kids in the audience, I need to explain something to you. This will never get the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. I did not understand that when I was a little kid. In fact, they were in these little eggs that said, expands 400%. And I thought that meant 400 times. So I thought it was going to get 400 times bigger than that. 400%. In fact, what I thought I was going to do is slap one of these spongy little dudes in my bathtub, and I was going to come back, and it was going to take up the whole bathroom. And I thought, now that is worth 99 cents. Yeah. Well, you know, I got one, and it expanded about like this big, and I kept waiting, and that was as big as it got. And I said, Mom, you know, what's the deal? She said, 400% is only four times bigger than it actually is. So 400% is a deceptive way to say four times, and it's not near as big as a little kid thinks it's going to blow up to be. All right? Just so you know. Does this have a head proportionally much larger to its body than this? What did the manufacturers want you to think that that was right there? A stegosaurus. Is there any doubt about that? Not one at all. And yet, for some reason, when we come to this, and it looks very, very similar to a stegosaurus, we somehow are told that's not a stegosaurus at all. It's a pig with bushes behind it. And yet, you've never seen a pig with a tail like that. And you've never seen a pig with things on its back that look just exactly like what you would see on a stegosaurus. And the idea that a human saw a creature like this and carved it in the Topram Temple makes perfect sense. Continue with me. These guys are not creationists to my knowledge. In fact, they care nothing whatsoever about the creation-evolution debate on dinosaurs. All they do is study carvings in Cambodia. They go around, they take pictures of them, they make millions of dollars taking pictures of carvings, and most of the carvings that they take pictures of and put in their books have nothing whatsoever to do with anything about creation-evolution. They're temple idols and stuff like that. Claude Jakes and Michael Freeman. And here's what they say. Roundels on pilasters on the south side present an animal which bears a striking resemblance to a stegosaurus. Why would they say that? Because it does. That's it. Here's what they say. Another one of their books. They say a very convincing representation of a stegosaurus. You know why that is? Because the idea that no human being's ever seen a live dinosaur, it's just false. That's not right. Ica, Peru. In 1930, a guy by the name of Dr. Javier Cabrera d'Arcella was given an Indian burial stone that had a carving of an extinct fish on it. Now, the fish supposedly lived millions of years ago. And he thought, how did these Indians carve something on this stone that supposedly lived millions of years ago? So he started collecting them. Overall, he collected 11,000 of them. Some of them the size of a bean bag. Some of them the size of a football or a baseball. Lots of them had weird, wacko pictures on them you wouldn't want to show your kids. Cultic pornography, basically, is what it is. Lots of them had really weird carvings of Indians doing brain surgery on each other. They happened to find some skulls where Indians had done some brain surgery, and some of those skulls had healed up, so they had lived even after the surgery. Just a bunch of wacko stuff on it. But there are also a bunch of things that supposedly went extinct millions of years ago. Things that look like this. Now, Cabrera de Arcaya said, how in the world did these Indians carve stuff that looks like creatures from millions of years ago? Now, here's what he said. Aliens abducted them, took them back millions of years ago, and brought them back, and that's how they learned about these things. Kind of wacko. Here's what's very interesting. Now, this picture is going to throw you off, but I want you to try to think. Yeah, all those of you who have seen the Flintstones? You remember Dino? The little dog-like critter that was a dinosaur? Did he have a smooth back or did he have spikes on his back? Smooth. Now, that might not seem like all that important information, but guess what? Until the year 1992, every single picture of a dinosaur-like dino with a long neck, small tail, long tail, small head, thick body, they all had smooth backs. In 1992, we find out some different information about some of those creatures. Some of them did have smooth backs, but not all of them. This picture right here was probably taken in the 1950s. Now, I know for a fact it was taken before 1975 because the book in which it appears has a 1975 publication date on it. 20 years before we ever learned that a creature like this could have spikes on its back. 20 years before. We have a picture that looks just like this. Now, listen to this. This is a statement from Stephen Cherkis, the curator of the museum in Utah where Eric was standing beside those Apatosaurus bones. Cherkis says recent skin of sauropod fossilized skin impressions of sauropods, reveals a significantly different appearance for these dinosaurs. The fossilized skin shows a middle row of spines was present. Some are narrow and others are broader and more conical. In 1992, we learned that these plant-eating dinosaurs had what on their back? Spikes. We got a picture from these carvings of these stones from 1975 that show spikes that look exactly like what these people are suggesting to us the dinosaurs had. This is from Ellen Bishop Morris. She said the biggest spines found were about 9 inches long, shaped a little like a shark's dorsal fin. 1995. Now, what's the easiest, most obvious explanation? People saw dinosaurs. If you're going to go with no human beings ever seen a live dinosaur, you're going to be wrong, because that's just not the case. The Bible clearly says, on day 6, God created animals and man. And then do you remember what he asked Adam to do? Name what? He asked him to name the animals. Now that doesn't mean he went through every type of dog and said, this is a chihuahua, this is a pit bull, this is a... In fact, I don't know if you've ever seen the word chihuahua. It doesn't pronounce like it's spelled. I didn't learn that until I was in college, and I read it Chihuahua, and one of the guys made a lot of fun of me and said, look, if you ever stand up in front of an audience, do not read that word Chihuahua, okay? So, just for your information, it's not like he named it, but he might have said these are mammals, these are lizards, or he might have said these are cows, these are fish, these are birds. It's not like he named every single specific kind, but God did ask him to name the animals so that he would see that there wasn't a helper suitable for him. Land-living animals were created on day 6. Adam saw them, he named them. Dinosaurs were land-living animals. Now that makes perfect sense. biblically, historically, and scientifically. These are some figurines from Acambaro, Mexico. A guy by the name of Vladimir Jules Rude was riding a horse in 1942 at the bottom of the El Toro Mountain. He saw some figurines. He said, "Wow, I wonder what those are." He got down and he found a bunch of pottery. Cups, saucers, pots. And he said, "All right, I'll pay you." There was a farmer in the area. He said, "I'll pay you 1 peso, it's 12 cents, for every one of these that you find intact." Well, the farmer found all kinds that were broken in pieces. He didn't pay him a dime for those. And Vladimir Jules Rude did not sell these. He just collected them. He wasn't trying to make any money. The farmer, if he tried to, could not have mass produced these because there's not one that is like the other. They're all handcrafted and they are all baked clay, which to produce one of these, you would have had to have stores and stores of wood to make the fires to bake them. He was getting 12 cents a piece for them, and he wasn't getting paid anything for the scraps of them. And he starts finding ones that look like this in 1942. Well, they got on their back. Got spikes on their back. Some of them don't. Some of them were 5 feet. So they sent off a bunch of the shards of the pottery to the University of Pennsylvania, said, "Will you date these using your evolutionary dating methods?" Now, they're evolutionary dating methods I don't put any stock in. But they said, "Would you date these?" They said, "Oh yeah, it looks like 4,500 years before the present." I said, "Oh, okay, thank you. Did you know that we got some figurines that look like dinosaurs?" They said, "Oh well, we're taking our dates back. We must have been wrong on that. Those aren't the right dates." Why would they take their dates back? Well, they claimed because we had some miscalculations. But no, because if these figurines were 4,500 years before the present and they had accurate representations of dinosaurs, then that would have meant humans had seen dinosaurs, and that would shake the foundation of evolutionary theory, and the University of Pennsylvania has 80% of its professor population up there who are avowed atheists, and they're not about to shake the foundations of evolutionary theory, and so they take their dates back. Here's what I find very interesting. They were processing a dinosaur fossil of a Tyrannosaurus rex. Now, the way something fossilizes is there's a bone that gets buried in the ground. When you dig it up, it's not a bone anymore. It's now a rock in the shape of a bone. The water has poured through it, has replaced all of the bone, and put something like a rocky silica substance. Most of the time it's silica. There are a few other chemicals that can make a fossil, but most of the time it's silica. It's a rock. So that when you pull it up, if you break it apart, it's a rock all the way through in the shape of a bone. So what you're looking at is not a bone. It's a rock. Well, they had a supposedly 70 million year old Tyrannosaurus rex leg bone, and they dropped it. And it broke open. What should it be all the way through? If it's been around for 70 million years. Oh, it should be rock. Well, guess what? It wasn't. In fact, it looked like it had some almost kind of bony-like substance. And then when they looked into that, it had some soft tissue, and they started analyzing the soft tissue, and it had the same chemical properties of hemoglobin, red blood cells, and some of it was collagen that they could pull apart, and it was so stretchy that when they let it go, it snapped back together. Is there any known process that would preserve soft tissue for 70 million years? Do you know what they should have said when they saw this? "Oh, hey, we got our dates wrong. Dinosaur bones with soft tissue in them. This isn't isolated." They started looking at others. There's at least 5 or 6 of these that have soft tissue in them. They should have said, "Hey, we got our dates wrong." Instead, they said, "Huh, we didn't know soft tissue lasted 70 million years." It doesn't. What does this show? It shows that the idea that humans are separated from dinosaurs by millions and millions of years scientifically is untenable. And historically, it's not accurate. And biblically, it does not concur with what we know to be fact. I could show you a bunch more of these. I'm not going to. There are really, literally hundreds. The ones that I've showed you are probably some of the most powerful, some of the most convincing, but if you were to look at several of these, you would see long-necked, thick-bodied, long-tailed creatures that would match descriptions of creatures that we would consider to be dinosaurs, looking kind of like a brontosaurus. You still with me? No, of course they don't look like a brontosaurus. There never was a brontosaurus. Looking like an apatosaurus, though, similar to it. You see what's going on there? The idea that no human being's ever seen a live dinosaur? What are we doing here? Shaking the foundations of evolutionary theory. All right, we got one more break, and we will answer some questions like, could humans really have lived with dinosaurs? What happened to the dinosaurs? Does the Bible say anything about dinosaurs? And other interesting questions of that nature. All right, you got about 5 minutes.